A quiet, humble, respectable Negro who has had the unmitigated temerity to feel sorry for a white woman, has had to put his word against two white people's. The defendant is not guilty, but somebody in this courtroom is. Now, gentlemen, in this country, our courts are the great levelers. In our courts, all men are created equal. I'm no idealist. To believe firmly in the integrity of our courts and of our jury system, that's no ideal to me. That is a living, working reality.
There you go, Gregory Peck as Atticus Fitch in To Kill a Mockingbird. Well, I spoke to Mary Curran Egan, his cousin, and also to Maurice Galway about the legacy of the man 100 years on from his birth.
Yes, absolutely. He's considered one of the great giants of all time, you know, one of the best actors that have ever been there. Been endorsed by all the greatest directors like Martin Scorsese and Stephen Frears. They all acknowledge him in so many great ways, you know. He was sublime, obviously, when he won his Oscar in To Kill a Mockingbird. And one of my favourites, The Guns of Navarone, which I enjoyed as a child, my dad growing up. And, of course, like we screened Roman Holiday to close the festival this year. But, yeah, just so many wonderful performances, an incredible actor.
And I suppose, Morris, when it comes to it, like the 100 years on from his birth, Harper Lee passing away, coming out with a new book all in the same year, and she was the one who said that in that role that Gregory Peck was essentially playing himself.
Yeah, and I'd say it did that, you know, it often happens with an actor, you know, and that perfect role comes along and it just seems to match the character of, you know, the actor's actual personality. And he did. I mean, I heard a lovely story where she arrived on set during the filming of it and she completely believed that he was like her father. And the watch, you know, he was using a watch, you know, in the film, but she actually gave him her father's watch from then on to act in because she believed his performance so much, you know. But yeah, it's quite something that she died in the same year now, you know, and incredible with that second book after such a big gap.
It was astonishing, really. Mary, can I ask you, I mean, your own thoughts, you know, 100 years on from this remarkable man, you know, and your connection to him?
Well, I suppose, to be honest, Jerry, my connection to him is through my great-great-grandparents, John Gregory Ashe and Catherine Mary Prendeville. And I have to thank my own dad and my aunts, especially Mary and Duna, for the mind of information they've given me down through the years. But it started basically in Minard in 1857 when John Gregory Ashe and Catherine Mary Prendeville married. They had 12 children, one of whom was my great-grandmother, Mary Ashe, and she was the eldest of the 12. And then there was Catherine Ashe, she was the fifth eldest, and she would be Cecilia and Anthony, Stephen and Carey's great-grandmother. And basically the family fell on hard times and emigrated to Buffalo. But before they emigrated, they actually, their youngest son, James P., stayed in Glenmenard with his aunt, and he was reared there until he was 9. Two of their daughters went ahead of them to Australia, and the family had actually planned on emigrating to Australia, but due to change the economic circumstances and everything else, they actually went to Buffalo and settled there. And then when James was 9, Catherine, Cecilia and Anthony's great-grandmother came home to Ireland and brought James over to be with the rest of his family. So yeah, I mean, my connection with Gregory Peck would be through Mary Ashe, my great-grandmother, and then of course Cecilia and Anthony's great-great-grandmother Catherine Ashe,
and Mary,
Gregory Peck's grandmother.
It's a story of so many Irish families, really, and the
Absolutely.
Connection with America.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it happened in both my mom's family as well. So many people, I guess, emigrated to America because of hard times in Ireland.
Incredible stuff. I know a lot of celebrations are happening. There's a centennial taking place, obviously, this year. But I know the Academy Awards, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, I think it was recently this week, unveiled the Gregory Peck exhibition. at their centre for his work as an actor. Has it been something, I suppose, that you have recognised and I suppose watched all his movies with that family connection, Mary?
I suppose I would have heard of Gregory Peck from when I was a very young child. We had his picture hanging in our kitchen because after his first visit in 1968, he sent my mum and dad an autographed picture, and it was always in our kitchen growing up, and it still is in the family. So I would always have known of him. I would have known him as being a great Hollywood actor, but I guess it was only as I got older myself that I realised the enormity of this man and how amazing he was. And I met him for the first time myself in 1992 down in Dingle again when he had a celebration for his cousins in the Skellig Hotel. And I went there with the rest of my family and my husband, and it was just such an honour and a pleasure to meet him. And he came to our family home that time. My dad had sadly passed away with my mum. Obviously, we're still living there. And he came to visit our family home with his wife, Ronique. And he was just an extraordinarily giant of a man, but very down to earth, very sincere, very easy to talk to. You would never think that he was actually such a great Hollywood actor because he just seemed like a neighbour down the road. He was so easy to talk to. And he's really, really lovely and so interesting, and told us lots of stories. I remember my husband asking him even questions about movies he'd done and everything else. And again, I would have loved To Kill a Mockingbird, but I have to say one of my own personal favourites is Scarlet and the Black, and the whole story about that great Kerryman, Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty, and the role Gregory plays in that movie as well. I just found it extraordinary. But yeah, he was just an amazing man, and it has been a pleasure to meet other members of his family, like Cecilia, and obviously his wife, Ronnie, Anthony and Harper and Anne Bean, and Christopher, actually. Another one of his grandchildren was in Ireland a couple of years ago, and it was just so lovely to meet them. But Gregory was so down to earth, you would never have thought he was a Hollywood actor.
Yeah, certainly a Hollywood actor of his fame and stature as well. Morris, how do you think he'll be remembered? No, I know he's done a lot of humanitarian work, and there's a lot of things happening in the States to remember his centennial, as they call it, 100 years from his birth. But I know you gave a presentation to him or to the family in February as well.
Santa Barbara, I was invited over there to the Santa Barbara International Film Festival to make a presentation of Irish work. And because it was the centenary year, we decided we'd give the Peck Award this year to the family. And it was a lovely event. Brian Stack, who designs the award, was there to present it on the evening. But in terms of how he'd be remembered, I mean, obviously, as a great actor, you mentioned like he got the Oscar for Kill a Mockingbird, but he was also nominated four other times, The Keys of the Kingdom, The Yearling, Gentleman's Agreement, and 12 O'Clock High. So he'll always be remembered as an extraordinary actor, but there's something about his character, all right. He was apparently, like Mary just said there, a wonderful man, very warm, kind guy. I think he'll be remembered well in that way. There was a lovely film, actually, people could see in conversation with Gregory Peck that we showed a number of years ago. It's kind of a documentary, and you get a great sense of the guy and kind of how down-to-earth and what kind of he was. I have a funny story myself that I heard that I always love to share about when he was leaving Thomas Ashe one time in Dingle, and he said he was going to miss the Guinness. And apparently Thomas Ashe arranged to have the taps and the Guinness sent over to Los Angeles. And I believe on a Tuesday night he'd a car tonight. And people like Jack Lemmon would come round, and he'd always be happy to say he was going to pull him a pint from his home. You know, that was quite lovely.
Yeah, beautiful story. And I suppose the roles he's made famous, do you think they stand the test of time? We seem to be, Morris, coming around to a time in movies now where we've got movies from the 1990s getting remakes. Yeah. Nothing seems to be permanent. Everything seems to be trampled over. But I don't think there'll be too many trying to remake Gregory Peck movies.
No, I mean, I couldn't imagine To Kill a Mockingbird being remade. You know, that's just a classic. It will always be there. And, you know, I have four kids, three of them have gone through secondary school, and they've all, like, been studying To Kill a Mockingbird, and they all watch the film, you know. So it's incredible how it's just, like, travelling through the generations, and it's still known as a great film. So, yeah, a film of that would be very hard to make. But there's a certain class of actor that was around that time as well, you know, and Gregory Peck was certainly one of them. They were kind of iconic. They were carved from stone, you know, they were like real pieces of sculpture that put to work by great other artists and directors, and they'll always be remembered, and he'll certainly be remembered as one of the greatest for the UK.
Yeah, and was he from, I suppose, as the cliche goes, was it the golden era of Hollywood, do you think?
Well, it was, yeah, it was the golden era, but, you know, I mean, I love film, and, you know, the 70s was also a great time for the independent and the new directors coming up, and the whole visions that were created then, but it certainly was a wonderful time. I mean, we showed close the festival there. We closed Roman Holiday. And when you see a film of that quality, like on a big screen, I mean, again, it's just such a work of art. I mean, there was real skill. Obviously, there was great big budgets and huge casts involved in preparing these wonderful stories. And I think the thing about them as well, that they were beautifully written scripts back then. The script was, you know, such a height and an importance of the whole procedure.
Yeah.
As opposed to today, you know, it can be very much about the visuals and the special effects and the action. But it certainly wrote great films back then that knew how to do that.
Yeah, they certainly did. Well, listen, look, I want to thank both of you for talking to us about the legacy of the man 100 years on from his birth. That's Gregory Peck, Mary Corrin Egan. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And Maurice Galway, we'll talk again.
Thanks.
Thank you.